Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to another episode of New Math Class. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, In the Midst of Spiritual Warfare, Wait Upon the Lord. And we will be studying today from Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 6. The word wait is a verb, and which means to stay where one is or delay action until a particular time or until something else happens. And so I'm going to begin reading from Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss or damage. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the window opens toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Then these men, in the Hebrew it reads heroes, and here we have a note of divine sarcasm, then these men, or heroes, went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, will be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. This account of what happened to Daniel is very powerful. And please note that this account takes place in Daniel's life when he is 86 years old, or thereabouts. Daniel is a mature believer. Daniel, throughout his lifetime, has been a faithful believer. And so he has, over his lifetime, devoted himself to the study and not the application, but to the study and to the metabolism of God's Word. Now, in biology, metabolism is the chemical processes occurring within a living cell or organism that are necessary for the maintenance of life. In the spiritual realm, Daniel understood that the study and metabolism of the Word of God were vital to his life. And so Darius admired and trusted Daniel, but he had been manipulated into setting Daniel up, which the king would later come to understand. I want you to see the type of character that was exhibited in the life of Daniel and why he was promoted within the kingdom of Darius, as he was promoted during the time of both Nebuchadnezzar and Belteshazzar, and into the kingdom that would follow as well, that would follow the kingdom of the Medes and Persian. So we read in verse 3, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional quality. And so let me say at this point that Daniel's name means El is my judge. El, that is the strong one of authority. And in ancient Hebrew pictograms, Elohim or El was pictured as that of a bull or ox, that is the strong one. When in ancient Hebrew pictograms, there would be the picture of an ox head or a bull, and next to it that of a staff, then it would mean the word picture, the combination of the two word pictures of pictograms would mean the strong one of authority. Here, El means strong one. The strong one is my judge. And so Daniel's character was exceptional according to the Hebrew syntax and Hebrew words that are in this, that are used in verse 3. He is said to have, in the Hebrew, presents Daniel in verse 3 as surpassing and conquering himself. That is, surpassing preoccupation with self and conquering the desire for self-interest and moving beyond those two areas to be completely devoted to God. And so we read that an excellent spirit was found in him. And as we go down to verse 4, we read that at this, because of Daniel's exceptional character, and again, he was looked at for promotion, at this, we read in verse 4, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were not able to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy. The Hebrew is aman, and it denotes the type of character of this man, Daniel. That is one of stability. Aman was used in the ancient world as the picture was that a picture is that of a tent stake, and so therefore that provided a stability in which to tie a rope in which to help anchor one's tent. And so Daniel was an individual of that caliber. And so God would promote him within the kingdom of Darius, but there would be opposition from those who were jealous of what God was doing in his life. Yes, certainly there was anti-Semitism, but and this the anti-Semitism was also accompanied by jealousy over the excellent character that this man displayed. And please note again that at this time he is 86 years old. And so he is still facing a spiritual conflict because of who he is. Now, there he was found trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent in his duties. Verse 5, the conspirators conclude, finally, we read, finally these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So they would come together and manufacture false evidence, or they would come together and manufacture a false case against him. Verse 6, and so the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days except you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion. And so in Hebrew, actually we read that, that they hastened together and, again, have all agreed. And so this too is not true because it would be very difficult because of this vast kingdom. It would be physically impossible to assemble all of the empire's leaders on such short notice in order to get a unanimous decision on a particular topic. The king at this point does not know or realize that this cabal that has assembled together for the destruction of one man, one individual, that is Daniel, who was in their way and whose very presence created a very uncomfortable environment for them. because of his spiritual integrity toward God. And so we go on in verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the window opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks, listen very carefully, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Now earlier, I talked about the practice of Daniel throughout his lifetime in studying and metabolizing the word of God. Of thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Daniel, after learning about the conspiracy, could have easily manufactured mental attitude sin toward these individuals. And he would have found himself outside of the will of God. But instead, after learning about what the conspirators had put together against him, Daniel continued his routine. Indeed, in verse 10, the word learned in Hebrew is the PL perfect of a particular word in Hebrew that denotes or depicts complete perception. The word of God had given Daniel the ability to possess complete understanding about his situation. And so Daniel does not immediately go before Darius in order to talk about or to plead his case about the injustice of this particular decree. Indeed, Daniel takes his case to God. And Daniel prays to God, and he gives thanks to God. The word of God has so matured Daniel's soul that he had learned that even within dire straits, to wait upon the Lord, to wait where he was, to be at home in the will of God. Daniel did not badmouth. Daniel did not whine. Daniel did not complain about his situation, or Daniel did not seek to get even with his conspirators. But Daniel waited upon God. And so he looks at this situation for what it is, and he approaches it with spiritual finesse. Daniel's complete perception of what was going on informed his heart about the way this particular event in his life should be approached. And so the word of God had given Daniel's soul self-control. And the self-control within Daniel would enable him to think rationally and also to carry on his spiritual practice. It does not mean that he was hurt. It does not mean that he was grieved by what had been done to him, but he had grown to the point where he understood some things about life. Daniel understood that in this world we will have tribulation, that is, we will be in types of as Iesus said, in this world we will be in tight places. We will be straying sometimes to the nth degree, as it were, by particular trials. But see, Daniel understood that God was at work even in the midst of this particular situation, and God was going to work this out. Now, think about this. Think about what is going on for Daniel. A law, a decree, which cannot be changed. Daniel is taken to the lion's den, and a stone is put over the mouth of the lion's den in order to entomb him. This was to be Daniel's undoing, Daniel's tomb. And what had his crime, what was his crime? A man of God. And hot wax was brought, and the king's signet ring was impressed in the hot wax, and also the other leaders, sealing Daniel's doom. And so there is this weight, and Daniel is tossed into the lion's den, and as one believer said, Daniel is tossed into the lion's den, and he falls into the hands of the living God. Have you ever been tossed into the lion's den or felt as though you had been? And the conspirators stand around waiting for your undoing. You are tossed into the lion's den, and yet you fall into the hands of the living God. Well, that is what happens to Daniel. And I notice he goes through this real-time experience. He goes through this process. He goes through this very heinous situation. He does not ever picture himself as a victim of these individuals. Daniel knows that whatever comes into his life, that is, in all things give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's a very difficult verse. It is, and unless one rests within God, one will fight against the meaning of that verse. But Daniel had long since given up the fight of the flesh, the will of the flesh, the desire of the flesh, to have its own way. Daniel trusts in the living God. The king's night was sleepless. His night was anxiety-ridden. He could not sleep because the king had a place in his heart for Daniel. Verse 17, we read, a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. An unjust law had been written to condemn a just man. That is not unique in history. An unjust law had been written in order to undo the life of a just man. Verse 18, then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. He could not sleep. His conscience kept him restless. and he knew that this was wrong. And he therefore found that he had no peace in his heart. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lion?" I love this. "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, whether in prosperity or adversity, been able to rescue you from the lion?" Daniel, verse 21, Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God," Daniel uses the possessive, "my God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths," plural, "of the lion. And they have not hurt me, because I was found in purity before him." Not innocent, but in purity, spiritual purity. So Daniel's a godly man, a just man, a man of prayer, a man of faith. See, Daniel did not have a heart that was weighed down with duplicity, with hidden motives or secrets or conspiracies or lies. Daniel did not live a life of self-torture. Daniel lived a life of single vision, single focus, and that is his eyes were upon the living God. He lived for God. He lived in such a way that God would be there for him in a very powerful way. Notice what happened. Verse 23. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. Look at that. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And indeed, no wound was found within his heart, because he forgot who tried to spitefully abuse him. See, Daniel received no trauma from the experience, because he would not give himself over to mental attitudes that such as bitterness, anger, resentment. Daniel would not torture his life. And so neither was a wound found on his body, and neither was there a wound found within him. There's no psychic or spiritual trauma as a result of the experience. God had completely protected his faithful one. Beloved, this morning, if you have an opportunity, please study this chapter and learn about the wonderful preservation of Daniel and the provision that God makes for them. My name is Dr. Josiah Ridge. I will meet with you next time on the Matter Call. Have a wonderful day.